Florida State, we did it! Florida State gets their first win of the season. You know, Michael, I'll tell you what, man. That might have been uglier than a Florida cheerleader, but you know what? It doesn't even matter, dude. I will take it. It ain't always got to be pretty. You know what I mean? Like, Florida State gets the win 14-9. I mean, by the skin of their teeth, it had us definitely on the edge of our seat for basically the entire game. I mean, it looked like they had a chance to put it away, and then Cal really started to come back. I thought there at the end, I was like, we are going to end up giving this one away. But the defense holds, and they end up, you know, you can't really say enough about the defense in this game and what they were able to do to kind of really give you a chance. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like, we're happy, we're excited. Hate watchers, you're going to have to wait another week. Like, you can talk smack about how ugly it was. But the hate watchers, you're going to have to wait another week. But you know what, man? Like you always say, a win is a win is a win. And it's ugly, and it might be the only one we get all year unless this offense finds some life. But at the same time, we got to win, and that's all that matters. So, man, we're just happy and excited to be talking about a win for a change.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, like you said, that win was uglier than a newborn Gator fan. But, you know, it is what it is. We got the dub. A win is a win is a win. Really, really just proud of that team for, you know, responding to the 0-3 start. Man, it was so great not to go 0-4.
Man. Yeah.
And just really proud of the defense, the way they just stepped up all game. You know, they Cal got into the red zone a couple times, but they held them to field goals. You know, they had 7 sacks. I know we're going to get into all that, but they had 7 sacks, bro. That was incredible. Shout out to the defensive line. And then, last but not least, before I throw it back to you, is shout out to them youngins. Edwin Joseph, Quindarius Jones, Cam Davis, Jaylen Brown. I mean, they were just – they all made critical plays throughout the game, including Joseph's interception that stopped the drive there. So, man, just kudos to this defense. Kudos to Alex Mastromano. Sorry, Fitz, you should have got a chance to kick a field goal.
I know, right?
But, you know, next time, bro. But anyways, yeah, it's just great. Finally great to put a 1 in that win column, and we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, Freedom Youngins, man, they played well tonight. They got on the field, and they showed out. And really, again, man, like we were talking about before we went live here, is like, this was such a crucial week for this team, because you felt like if they would have went 0-4, they might would have just packed this thing in. But now you just – all we've been talking about this whole time was like, man, you just got to get some positive momentum, because this is where you at least get some buy-in. You at least get some positivity. You at least will get guys who are kind of like, okay, maybe we can turn this thing around. And you know, you look at SMU next week, and we're not worried about next week yet. I mean, they hammered TCU. They put up 66 points, so you're going to have to find something on offense.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the way your defense is playing, they give you a chance in these games. At least you can say that. Now, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Cal was kind of a suspect team. They had played 2 pretty bad teams in San Diego State and UC Davis. And then they beat Auburn barely with 5 turnovers. But, I mean, really, so, like, you felt like you could win this game. But, man, there was so many opportunities for them to really open this up, because what's really, I think, disappointing, and I don't want to be negative in the first win. Goodness gracious, we've been negative in the first 3. It's been terrible. I don't want to do that. But, again, like we said, man, this win was uglier than a Florida cheerleader. Like, it was bad. Like, the offense was terrible. Defense was pretty suspect on 3rd and longs and 4th and longs, man. They just could not get off the field on certain times. And really, like, but again, they played well. They're going to keep you into these games, but you got to find something on offense, because this offense is terrible. And I mean, really, like, DJU is, man, he is bad. Like, he is just bad. And I think we were talking about it earlier, like, you thought Mike would have maybe given Brock a look to at least get a spark. But I think when the game was so close, that he was just nervous to make any changes and give the game away because you needed to win so badly. But, I mean, really, you know, you look at 177 passing yards, just, you know, 59% completion percentage. He had a wide open touchdown, you know, there where with the overthrow, which, I mean, granted, he, you know, he had the good one to Ja'Kai there, the slot fade. And really, it's like, yeah. I think that's just, that's almost what you got to do with DJ. You got to be like, look, man, here's the play. You got, here's a spot. Here's where you throw it to. You can't let him read and take time and all that stuff. I mean, the offensive line, we ran the ball better tonight, but
107 yards. Yeah.
They still don't look that great. I mean, Alex Atkins probably made a little bit of difference coming back with the offense. But, I mean, really, it's just funny. Like, and, of course, Mordrop had more drops tonight, which is a little bit disappointing.
But, Kyle Morlock, looking at you, bro.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I will say at the same time where it's like, I tweeted this out during the game. Like, the offense, there's things that are there, and they're doing things better. But DJ feels like the boat anchor of this offense. Like, he's just the one thing that just cannot get it going. And sure, he made that great throw to Ja'Kai. That's awesome and everything. But it's also like you get 1 out of 10 a game, and that's what's so disappointing. Like, yeah, you can. He makes a couple of good throws, but it's like there's 3 bad throws for every good throw.
Yeah, for sure. And like, here's the thing. I'm gonna give DJ some positive props. I thought outside of the interception and a couple just really terrible throws, you know, he didn't lose FSU to game one. Two, he did make some really clutch throws, not just the beautiful deep ball to Ja'Kai there on the left sideline there going towards the band. But he also made a couple critical throws to Ja'Kai Douglas again to keep earlier drive moving, to keep going. So, you know, he looks like he's – When he runs, he looks like he's running in mud, like
he's
all the way
so
up to
slow.
His chest. Like, he's so slow, and he's very indecisive in those runs, too. There were some people sitting behind me who just, like, they were just so livid because they'd run that read option, you know, and we'd give it off to the back, but it'd be, like, wide open for DJ. And at one point, I just wanted to say to them, like, even if he took it, he would get maybe a yard because he's so slow that the linebackers would recover enough to get him.
Yeah.
But, you know, with this offense, you know, outside of a couple, I also say this positive about that, outside of a couple just kind of questionable calls for Mike Norvell, he really did scheme this one really well. I mean, they were wide receivers open. They were able to move the ball. They ran counter, which I thought they would at least abandon that because it wasn't working, hadn't been working all season, but they ran counter several times and it got positive yards. You know, shout out to Cam Davis and Tola Feely. You know, I think Cam Davis actually played more than Tola Feely, which is interesting. Something for us to debate later, but I thought it was really good. I thought the offensive line with Jalen Early in there played well. It wasn't too bad. You know what? They were able to find a win. You know, Bobby Bowden used to say, look, you lose big, then you lose small, then you win small, and then you win big. So they've been losing. They finally were able to get a win small, and that's great.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And
appreciate your service.
Like you said, you know, when you talk about this whole thing with Mike Norvell, I thought the play calling was pretty decent tonight, really from a whole. I thought they schemed things up on that first drive actually pretty well. There was some creative play calling, some things that we really hadn't seen since Georgia Tech. There was a couple of really easy throws to try and get DJ in rhythm. I liked the reverse that they did as well. I thought that was a smart play call. I mean, I did rip him for that, the not going for the field goal there at the end. And now that one really kind of pissed me off because, like, you saw where – people were trying to defend that, and a 56-yard field goal isn't automatic. But it's like, yeah, man, first off, you're telling me that you trust DJU and this offense more than you trust Ryan Fitzgerald, one of the best kickers in the country? Like, I thought that was stupid because, really, when you look at that scenario, you would have given Florida State the ball, or you'd have given them a one-touchdown lead going into the half with all the momentum, knowing Cal gets the ball coming out on the second half.
Right.
So, like, if they go down and score, the absolute worst they can do is tie it up.
Right.
And then this offense is terrible. And so you trust them to get it on 4th and 7, and they don't. And so you should have just kicked it and taken the points. But there was probably another opportunity he should have taken the points earlier in the game, too. And, you know, this team struggles so much to score that when you have an opportunity to get points, you got to get points. So, really, that was my big complaint with Mike Norvell tonight. But other than that, I thought he did okay, you know, as far as scheming it up. It's just the offense is – they're still trying to find their way, man. This offense is still going to be your limiting factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, I get it that the analytics at that point says go, but you it's time and situation, Mike Norvell. Yeah. I'm usually one with you to go for it when the analytics say go. But, man, time and situation. You know the offense, even if you would have, like you said, converted, they're not going down to score a touchdown. But you have a kicker who is 100% on 50-plus yard field goals, right? But the offense has been, I think you said earlier, pre-show was like 60% on fourth down conversions.
Yeah, 66%.
So, like, you have to go with the numbers. And the numbers for actual scoring points says that your kicker is the one who will be more successful than going for fourth down. So I didn't really like that decision. But before I throw it back to you, Jesse, somebody in the chat banned OKTV said he lost his father this morning. Hey, man, we're so sorry to hear that, brother. And we send our thoughts and prayers to you. Glad that the Noles could get a win to kind of, you know, give a little bit of sunshine to your day. And just sorry to hear about the loss of your dad.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I had not gotten to that comment yet, but for sure. I mean, prayers up. That's always a really difficult situation, you know, and we hate to hear that. So definitely glad you got a little bit of positivity on such a troubling time. But yeah, man, I think when you talk about analytics, you got to also know your team, right? I mean, analytics are great, but do they account for you having a terrible offense? Probably not so much. And to get to one of the comments here, Deep South Fishing does say, glad to see a little push from the offensive line. I think they did get some push tonight. Yep, I mean, it really wasn't too bad. And just looking at a couple stats here, Toa Philly had 17 attempts for 80 yards and a touchdown. That's a pretty good night. You know, it's funny, actually, and I don't want to talk bad about any of the players here other than, you know, maybe DJ, but, you know, he knows it's coming. I think, and this was, we talked about this before the show, man, where, like, you saw Roydell Williams ruled out with an injury and he wasn't a boot tonight, but I was like, look, man, I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but I think that might be a net positive because he's really underwhelmed this year. And you really wanted to see Lawrence Toa-Philly get more carries. And so he gets 17 carries for 80 yards tonight. Cam Davis had 7 for 25, you know, and then you look at your receiving, Ja'Kai Douglas, 4 catches, 86 yards, averaged 21 and a half yards. It had an 80% catch rate. So it's nice to see the sure-handedness come back a little bit there. Yeah. Jaylen Brown, 2 for 29. Hakeem Williams got involved, 2 for 22. You know, again, like you missed some opportunities. Kentron Portier had a really big catch, one catch of the night, but a big, a big catch. But really, as bad as the offense was, I do really think that the story of the night has to be the defense, man.
And absolutely.
Look, I will say this, like I might give him a lot of crap because he is silent for 99% of the game, but at least Marvin Jones Jr. came up big late. With a couple of sacks. And so, I mean, that was, you know, that was definitely good to see after basically being silent in 3.99 games. He hasn't done anything this year. But, you know, I think it is, you know, I will say, at least say, like, goodness gracious, everybody loves to tell us how wrong we are. I will say, like, when you look at the preview, the one thing that I had mentioned in this game was I was like, look, the one key that I think Florida State has an opportunity to win this game is because of the pressure, because they had given up 6 sacks against San Diego State, 2 against Auburn, and the Fernando Mendoza had the 4th highest pressure to sack ratio in all of Power 4. And so, like you said, man, Florida State comes up with 7 sacks on the night. They had 12 TFLs on the night. So, I mean, again, man, it was just this defense really has turned it on the last 2 weeks. They have really found their way these last 2 weeks. And I mean, even then, like you gave up 107 rushing yards. By no means is that bad. Average yards per rush was 2.9 yards per rush. You gave up over 200 yards the first 2 games. So like you finally settled in and finally slowed some things down here. So the defense, I think if you can keep just building on this, man, it's all about that momentum. I just don't know what you're going to be able to do to fix this offense, but at least you saw the run game finally found some life because you have, we talked about this, you have to be able to run the ball to even help the pass game out. Now, again, when you talk about the pass game, there was some plays there that just wasn't, you know, they just didn't take advantage of. Again, you missed a wide open touchdown. You had a couple of really just ugly throws by DJ. I still think it's time to switch quarterbacks. I mean, I know there's that risk reward war like we talked about with DJ where He may not win you the game, but he doesn't necessarily cost you the game with a lot of dumb mistakes. But he certainly doesn't win you the game. And at some point, you're going to need your offense to win you a game, because this defense, you could, man, you could just sense it late, right? Like, they were going to get tired. That's why you saw Kyle kind of drive down the field. But, man, then they held it together. And you were there. I have to give it to, like, Doak sounded pretty good tonight. I mean, they had, what, two or three false start penalties down there in the end zone. So, like, they made – and that was the other thing I said. Well, they were a heavily penalized team, and they had, I think, 9 penalties tonight. So, right on par for them. So, man, look, Cal was not a great team, but they were a decent team. And so this was a really big win for Florida State. I mean, especially when you're 0-3, you just needed something positive, something to get some momentum going, and to have another good defensive performance, man. I think if you can get buy-in to now where these guys are really going to play hard, and they look like they played a lot harder tonight. I will say that. Just, man, if nothing else, from like an effort standpoint, they look like they played a lot harder tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the defense played their hearts out tonight. You know, like I said, like you said, man, they were able to get 7 sacks, had a bunch of tackles for loss. You know, what I thought was really impressive tonight was that for the first time, there was very little miscommunication. They had a couple, like, you know, when they were down, when they got those 3 false starts down there and the delay of game, then they isolated Blake Nicholson on a linebacker, on a wide receiver, and they got a wheel route on him, and they were able to convert that. But that was one of them. And there was a couple other, there were like 2 or 3 other ones where they miscommunicated. But for the most part, I was specifically watching the defense for the communication part, because Cal was running a whole bunch of motion. They were motioning their tight end, number 10, and then, or I think he's tight end, hybrid wide receiver, and then number 87 as well. And then they were trying to motion a lot of their wide receivers in just to try to confuse the eyes of the secondary there, of the linebackers. And I thought for the most part, the linebackers held their own. You know, they weren't spectacular. They weren't anything to write home about, but they didn't make the critical mistakes that they had been making all season long. And so I thought the defense just played really well. Like I said earlier, shout out to the defensive line. They actually had got pressure on Cal's quarterback, Mendoza, several times they got pressure on him. And I mean, yes, he did have some opportunities to sit back there and throw. What I loved a lot about this defense is that, you know, last year's defense was attacking, and, you know, they didn't give up. They weren't a bend but don't break defense. This defense early on, especially in that Georgia Tech game, they were just letting everything happen to them. As the season has gone on, you're starting to see that a little bit more of that attacking mentality. And now today, Cal wasn't able to just force their will on this defense. Yep. The defense was able to, for the most part, force their will on Cal's offense. Now, I know, you know, if you're watching, you're probably thinking, well, our secondary gave up 303 yards of passing. Well, what you have to also understand, if you go back and watch the game, is a lot of those passes were, you know, 5 to 10 yards that, yes, poor tackling. There was some of that, but there was only, I think I counted 4 or 5 plays that went for more than 20 yards down the field. And so that is a huge improvement than what we were seeing. And they, I mean, there were, I don't know what the longest run was, but I would guess that there was no longer, the quarterback on that 4th down. Yeah, he got a big run. But outside of that big run, I think that was the biggest run there. The defense did play really well. And so I'm just proud of it. I'm proud of the defense for stepping up and for making sure that they held Cal to just field goals when they did get in the red zone. Yes, Cal's kicker did miss 2 field goals. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord Jesus for that. But I'm not going to get on the defense today. They played their hearts out.
100%.
Marvin Jones Jr. showed up at the end of the game.
I was about to say, Palmer for two plays. Yeah. 2 plays. I will say,
Palmer,
like, I did.
Great, but it was great.
I did tweet out late, like right at the end. I said, hey, look, man, sometimes when that kid missed the second field goal, it's like, look, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes that's all that really matters. They had 8 plays over 15 yards. So, you know, you still gave up.
They had what?
8 plays over 15 yards.
Okay.
I got it pulled up now. So you still gave up some big plays. But at the same time, like, you saw a lot of that Adam Fuller bend don't break defense. Like, you gave up some plays, you let them get down the field, but then you held when it really mattered the most. And I will say too, like you talk about the defensive line, I thought Pat Payton had a better night. I mean, he's had a really rough season, and really, I think, man, Josh Farmer is progressively getting better and better as the season goes through. Like, he's actually getting better. Didn't see a whole lot from Daryl Jackson, but he wasn't bad. Like, he didn't stand out in a bad way.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, I think the linebackers had a semi-decent game. It was nice to see Shaheem back as well. Jeff Hill contributes to the show. We really appreciate that, Jeff. He says, defense played well. Offensive line played well. We should have won by 3 scores with good quarterback play. I've seen enough of DJ. Time for Brock. Jeff, I got to agree with you, my man. The thing – that's the thing, man. We talked about that earlier. Like, Florida State, for the most part, they really kind of dominated this game. Like, for the most part, they just could not score. Like, they just, man, there was it. And we've talked about this. DJ feels like the boat anchor to this offense. Like, you saw a good push from the offensive line. They ran the ball okay tonight. I mean, 107 yards is not terrible. But again, like, when you just, you know, again, like, when you talk about the passing game, it's just, that's the hard part, man. It's just not really there. But yeah, and also we have got a comment about Quindarius Jones. Them youngins, man, that's what we talked about. Like, them youngins, they played really well, man. And that's the thing. Like, I was actually, you want to see it happen more from the quarterback position. That's what you really want to see, right? But at the same time, the fact that Mike Norvell was at least willing to put in some young guys in a big situation like that, that was big to see, because it at least tells you that he's going to get some of these guys more work, right, as the season goes. And in a season that's kind of busted like it is, that is your hope. That is the positive that you can take away from this, because we've talked about this frequently, right? Like, things may not be going the way you want this year, but your hope is that you can keep these guys in the boat and committed for next year, because you have some young, talented guys that we've heard good things about. I mean, when you look at what Cam Davis has done, when you look at Edwin Joseph, when you look at Quindarius Jones, I mean, these are guys that are going to be stars for you someday. They are going to be the future of your defense. And Cam Davis, he runs hard, man. I really like him. I mean, he got injured, went off the field, came back, and still stuck his nose in there and played well. So, you know, again, man, I still think you're a quarterback away from this offense being pretty good. Unfortunately, I don't see Mike making that change anytime soon. But at the same time, like, I think he's got to be smart enough to know, man, like, again, we talked about this before we jumped on, 21, 13, 12, and 14. The win feels great, but again, your offense is stuck in the mud, man. It's just not going anywhere. And DJ is so slow, man. Like, just from an all-encompassing perspective, like, he runs slow, he moves slow, he gets sacked because – he just can't get out of the pocket, and he's clumsy. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Every time it seems like he goes to run, he falls down, or, you know, it's like a third and four, and he falls down to 3 yards. It's like, man, you are 6'4", 250 pounds, dude. Put your shoulder down and run somebody over. And so, like, it's frustrating. He reads slow. He gets the ball out slow. So, like, he's killing your offense. But at least you had some semblance of a run game tonight, because if you'd had another 60-yard performance, you'd have lost this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You definitely lose this game, you know, and I hate to tell you, Jeff, but yeah, it's probably not going to happen. You'll definitely probably see DJU. I'd bet a mortgage I don't have on it that you're going to see him rolled out in the starting lineup against SMU next week.
Yeah.
You know, Mike is determined. He's determined that DJU is going to be the quarterback, you know, and I do wonder if they had scored that touchdown, if they had scored down there, when they had the chance before they missed that first field goal, if we would have went to Brock, because the offense had basically stalled out. I think they had 3 consecutive 3-and-outs. It just wasn't really good. But yeah, I don't, you know, it's what we've said, you know, Jesse, on the show so much, is that this is the very definition of insanity, that you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Here's the thing. DJ wasn't absolutely terrible today, but he was nowhere near good, you know?
Yeah.
And you cannot keep – I mean, we're going to say this till we're blue in the face. You just can't keep rolling him out there. The offense is not responding. He had one good throw to Ja'Kai Douglas. Outside of that, the offense didn't respond. Like normally you could – there are a bunch of different areas that you could blame usually. On the first three games, you could blame the wide receivers. You can mostly blame the offensive line. Jesse, yeah, you did an incredible post, article, and video on the offensive line and why they've basically been the crux of our problem on offense. On all those first three games, you could blame every part of the offense. But today, and I watched it live, you watched it on television. Today, the offensive line played moderately okay.
Good enough.
The wide receivers actually got open. They actually had some separation, right? The running backs ran very hard. You know, the tight ends, you know, Kyle Morlock, you know, he had that big drop. But outside of that, it was okay. Like, there was nothing that was bad except for, and I wouldn't say that the quarterback play, DJ, was bad, but he wasn't good either. So whatever the between of that was, I mean, like you said, he processes things way too slow, way too slow. I mean, we only had 78 total yards of offense in the second half. 78. Man, like, Mike, you've got to look at that and say, I've got to give this offense a spark right now. I've got to figure out how I can get this offense to score more points. And Jonathan Lee, you're right, man. I'm going to be hoarse tomorrow. I have to preach in the morning, and my voice is trying to figure out how to get my voice back together, but we'll be all right. Thanks for thinking of me.
I'm sure you were probably yelling and screaming and all that, doing the war chant in there. And so, I mean, man, again, like, you just needed something positive. And you know, again, like, we got another contributor here, Rubesh, I'm guessing. I hope I said that right. Rubesh contributes to the show and said, needed this win in the worst way. We will get through this. And breaking news, he actually gave us the tip on this because we're on the show here, so I hadn't noticed yet. I know he was due to commit today. Big recruiting pickup just now with Byron Lewis, four-star running back. So that is a big pickup, man. That's huge. And it's all about the positive momentum. You know what I mean? You really needed that positive momentum. So now you get a recruiting win. You know, we had seen after the last couple losses, you had the two decommitments. So now you get the win. I mean, you felt really good about where you were at with Lewis anyway, but this put the cake on, the icing on the cake there. And Jeff Hill contributes again and says, man, Mike's pulled quarterbacks in the past, so why does he not do it now? I wish I knew, man. Sometimes I wonder if he's got some dirt on Mike Norvell.
I think DJ has like a secret book on Mike Norvell or something.
Yeah, right. Like he's got like a naked picture of Mike Norvell or something that he don't want to get out or something. Cause I don't get it, man. I mean, like, the thing is, again, like you said, there's no way that Brock looks that bad in practice. Like, I know they say DJ looks better in practice, but there is no way that Brock looks that bad. And I mean, again, like you said, man, DJ, he's not good at all, but he wasn't terrible. Like, he didn't cost you the game, but he really didn't do much of anything besides throw one touchdown to win you the game. And like we talked about, man, I know we're focusing on tonight right now, but SMU put up 66 points on TCU today. Clemson put up 59 points on NC State's defense today. Now, neither one of those teams are really very good, the teams that they played. You are not going to win against SMU on the road and against Clemson with 13 and 14 and 12 points. You're just not going to do it. So you got to figure out a way to get this offensive spark. And now, granted, like, it was nice to see Alex Atkins come back and see a little bit better play from the offensive line, a little bit better in the run game. You know, I don't know that he carries this designation, but I'm sure he's probably somewhat of your run game coordinator. So I think that did help to a degree. You still didn't score any more points, right? You still scored one more. You scored below your season average. So, like, if you can't get over 20 points, it's going to be hard for you to hold, like, Clemson's offense and SMU's offense, who does have a dual-threat quarterback because they sat Preston Stone. They got a dual-threat guy now. You're going to have to score more than 20 points to beat a team like SMU. You just kind of got lucky tonight that, you know, they missed a couple field goals and you were able to really get some pressure there late in the game. I mean, you know, if Cal gets a touchdown, it's a wrap. There was no way your offense was going down the field and scoring with DJ. And so, like, you got to figure out something on offense. And I don't think you're ever going to figure it out with DJ at the helm. I just don't think you are. But again, man, I just think you really got to tip your hat to the defense here for them keeping you in this game. And that is what's so nice. And then again, you know, hey, look at special teams, man. I know Fitzgerald didn't get his chance. I think he did, but Mastromano came up huge. So,
oh, dude.
Even when it wasn't Ryan Fitzgerald, it was Mastromano, like the one where they pinned him on the two.
Yeah.
I mean, you were able to flip the field. And so at least you were able to get the field position part of it. But, man, it's just – you got to figure out something on offense. And I do, I will say this, like, I think the offense is going to kill you, right? But you got to figure something out. But if this defense plays like it is, and Mike Norvell, you know, pardon my French, gets his head out of his ass and kicks a field goal when he's got a chance to take the points. Mike, if you're watching this, bro, take the points. You don't score many points. Take the points when you have it. But I think if you can get to where you can run the ball a little bit, right, like they are tonight, if your defense plays like this, you can see a path to where, like, a team like Duke, maybe a team like Charleston Southern, you know, Florida's finding a little bit of footing. I know they beat Mississippi State today. They're terrible. Your defense is going to keep you in games where, like, I would say before Memphis, I thought you were a one-win team if you could luck up and beat Charleston Southern. Your defense has now put together two really good performances. This is what we thought. Now, it wasn't great. You had some mistakes. Again, like you said, man, you got beat on that wheel route on linebacker. Our linebackers just can't cover in space. It is what it is. They got some problems on defense that they can get cleaned up, but they got way better in Memphis. And then I would say they were better even now in this game because, you know, Memphis is a G5 team. This is at least a Power 5 team. You got better 2 weeks in a row. This defense can keep you in games, but you have to figure out a way to score points.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, you cannot go into those other games thinking, okay, 14 points is going to be good enough for us. If the defense can keep – no. Man, like you said, Clemson put up 66 points or 56-something against NC State, not a great team. You know, SMU put up 66 points against TCU, not a great team. Florida, I think, put up 30-something points against – Mississippi State, not a great team. Florida's not a great team either. You know, so you've got to figure out how to score points. And, you know, I liked what Jeff said. Like, you know, I agree with you, Jeff. There's no way you can convince me that Brock couldn't put up 14 points himself. And what I think what you get with Brock is you get the ability for a quarterback to get out of trouble. When the wide receivers aren't coming open, you know Brock has the mobility and the speed to pull that ball and go get you some yards. Now, yes, I know we all have Georgia in our mind. I know we have the ACC championship in our mind when you look like a deer in the headlights trying to figure out. But, man, I know he might be – Jesse, you said this on our last show, that some people are just – you know, they're just okay practice players, but when the game comes on, They come on, right? And so, man, I just think that Mike has to sit down this week and just have a real honest heart-to-heart with himself to say, okay, this offense has proven with DJ at the helm that we're not scoring more than 14 points right now. Throw out Georgia Tech. Throw that out.
Yeah.
We literally went 13 points against Boston College, 12 points against Memphis, and 14 points tonight against a defense that's not very good. Very good at all. Okay? And so this is a four-game evidence that it is not working. At some point, Mike, and Mike, man, listen to me. Listen to us. We love you. We are for you. We want this to work so bad. Like, we keep pumping the sunshine. Like, we believe in you. Man, you remember when James Blackman was struggling? You remember when Mackenzie Milton was struggling? You pulled them suckers.
Yeah.
You pulled them.
Yeah.
Why won't you do it now?
Yeah, and I think the thing with Brock, too, is, like, when you watch this offense and you watch them run a read option with the quarterback, they know DJ's not going to pull it. So it's like the play is dead in the water before it even takes off because they know there's no threat of him pulling the ball and running it. And then, like you said, man, even on a run play, if it is open, it's over. I mean, he's going to get, what, 4 or 5 yards before he gets caught? You know, the best play that he had all night, I think, was where he kind of had this look like a dump truck spinning on ice or something like that, and he ended up getting like 7 yards. But it was pretty terrible. At least with Brock, like, Brock is the type of guy that he can turn a 4-yard run into a 40-yard gain with his feet. DJ is the one that has a 40-yard wide open hole and turns it into a 4-yard gain because he's so slow. And so, like, right. I think the thing is that the pass game isn't really effective with DJ, and you're not getting anything with him in the run game either. Then why are you still doing it? Because that is a net negative. Like, he's not throwing the ball well. I mean, again, 59% completion percentage, 177 yards. You're telling me that Brock Glenn can't do that? I mean, I would be willing to bet that he could throw for at least 177 yards and 59% completion percentage. Yep. So again, man, like you know, that the things that we even saw in the ACC championship and the Orange Bowl, that was last year's a true freshman. We had missed most of the season with injury. Like, yep, he's had a whole offseason. You can't tell me that he doesn't want to play. And then again, like, I know quarterback's a whole different position, but you look at the young guys that you put in tonight, they performed well. And so, like, why can't you get Brock at least a drive? Now, here's the problem. If we were already skeptical that Mike was going to play Brock to begin with, now you're coming off a win, I think you're even going to be harder pressed to get him in there. I think the only way, to me, I think the only way you're going to see Brock is if you start getting blown out. Like, if next week SMU is up like 35-7, I think then maybe you see Brock. But until that happens, I just think Mike is so scared of taking a chance. And I don't get it, because like you guys have said, he's done it in the past. And that is what is so confusing to me. But, you know, again, man, like at the same time, I do want to focus on the win tonight, and I'm so happy, man, because there at the end, I was just like, I see it coming, man. I see it. I know. Oh, they're going to melt down. They're going to melt down. But, man, that last series, like, other than giving up the long third down and the long fourth down, which, my goodness, I tweeted out during the game, I'm like, you know, Charles Kelly is smiling somewhere. Like, he's probably just sitting on his couch and just all of a sudden, like an angel got his wings or something. You know,
I looked up in the sky and I saw Charles Kelly's face and I was like, oh no, oh no.
I know, man. It's terrible. Like, you got to figure out how to get off the field on those long third downs. Like, it is just, it's unacceptable that you can't get off the field on that. Like, I almost feel, it's funny because I almost feel more confident that we're going to get a stop on a third and two than I do like a third and 20, because we just leave the middle of the field wide open and it's so frustrating. But yeah, I mean, I just wanted to look it up real quick. Like, I know he didn't do anything in the ACC championship game, but that's totally different. Mike Norvell wasn't gonna let him do it. Look, Brock Glenn threw for 139 yards against Georgia with like half, you know, no receivers really. So you're telling me he can't throw for 177 against Cal? But again, yeah, I definitely think, you know what I mean? I think again that it is like, you have to find a way to score some points, because 14 points a game is not going to do you any good this year. And or you're at least going to have to start kicking these field goals. And I agree, man, you can't, it's hard to rely on field goals to win, but I think your defense at least gave you the chance to do that tonight. But yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I thought the opening was good. Like that first drive, man, like we had talked about, we texted in the game. I think it was probably a lot of scripted stuff, but like, as soon as they go away from that, it fell off a cliff, and that is what's so hard to understand.
Yeah, well, they didn't score on the first drive. They went 3 and out on the first drive. It was the second drive.
Oh, yeah, because they had the penalty, and then it was like, that was right on par.
Yeah, right on par. Yeah, I felt like I texted you. I said, I mean, I don't know, because I'm not in the headset. I'm not, you know, in the game planning, but I was wondering if they basically just restarted the script again on that second
probably,
drive.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And it was able to work. Yeah, I thought, you know, they looked good. You know, I thought DJ made some really good throws there. You know, he was quick with them. He made the read quicker. You know, the offensive line was blocking well. They ran counter, I think, three times on that drive. I have to go back and watch the tape. But and they were able to get it down there in the end zone there. And they did a great job. And then the offense just kaput it for the rest of the game. Like, they just they get a little bit of momentum and then they shoot themselves in the foot. They get a false start, they get a holding call or just a bad throw or get sacked or you know, he'd run for you know, like when we had that fourth and one and then we have a false start, so we have to punt the ball. Like, it's just stuff like that happens over and over again on the offense. But let me go back to the defense real quick. Man, proud of the defense, but Jonathan Lee, you're right. He said in the comments there, he said third and five, very confident. Anything over that, sweating bullets. I like that, Jonathan. But like, I agree. Like, if it's third and five, I actually feel like most of the time they're gonna get the stop. But man, if it's like third and nine or anything else, man, I get so nervous, because all season long, something that this defense didn't do last year, but all season long this year, man, we just keep giving up those third and long situations, fourth and long situations. And it should not be. That should be the easiest down when it's third and long to get a stop. You know, I thought we kept the quarterback contained for most of the night. And then we gave up that huge fourth down scramble. Like, what is going on? Outside of that, though, to be positive, to give this defense some encouragement, man, they played their tails off tonight. They are the reason Florida State was stayed in the game tonight. When they could have scored, when Cal could have scored so many times in the red zone, they kept the defense, or they kept the offense from scoring. They made key, you know, I mean, Cal was only 5 for 17 on third down, I believe.
I was going to say, I was pulling some stuff up here, and it's like, you played well. And I will say, I wanted to touch on one thing early with the offense. The second drive, they pushed the pace a little bit too, which was nice
to
see.
Did.
But looking here, they were 5 of 15 on third down. So like you held them pretty well. Only 5 of 15 on third downs, 33.3% conversion rate. Now here's the thing. This is what we were just talking about. Third and short, 1 to 4 yards, 0-2. Third and longs of 9+, 3 of 8. So you do way better. Now they did get 3 sacks for -10 yards on third downs. So that was pretty good there. Average yards gained on third down, 7.1 yards. So like you got to get better on third downs.
Yep.
But I did want to touch on something when we talk about the consistency of this offense. When you look at the drive here, you had 11 drives throughout the entire game. You have 4 3-and-outs. That's not good. You got to get better about that. Cal only had 1 3-and-out the whole night.
Jeez.
But you did. So your drives were 3 plays, 4 yards and a punt. Then you put together 8 plays, 60 yards. Touchdown. That was good. 12 plays, 62 yards, but you ended with the interception. 9 for 33 with a punt. 6 for 10, 5 for 19. Then you went 3 for 4, 3 for 8, 12 for 79 and got the touchdown. 3 for -2. And then I don't count the last one because they were taking knees and stuff. 4 for -25. But you started pretty good and then you just absolutely faded away. It's like once they started kind of figuring out what you were doing, then you just kind of had nothing. I mean, like we said, I think that early, that scripted stuff is where they have success. But, man, if you don't – and the thing is, if you don't put up points on those and then you kind of run out of tricks in your bag, then, like, you got nothing the rest of the game. And I do want to touch real quick here where Rubesh says, thank you all for what you do in this gross season. Go Noles forever. It is gross, but like, look, man, we are just so happy to actually have something positive to talk about. And that's why, like, man, afterwards, I know it sounds silly to be like excited over beating Cal but man, I was kind of jumping around, running around the house when they got that last sack. I was like, thank goodness, man. This is like, I don't think I could have stomached 0-4. Like, I couldn't have taken it. So the fact that they were able to actually just come out and get this win again, like for those of you who are just tuning in that maybe haven't been watching this whole time and like to bring it back, we had been talking about this where you thought Georgia Tech maybe hung over a little bit and beat them the week of the Boston College, right? It was kind of a hangover game. You had really, really bad effort in that Boston College. I think that was your worst game as far as from effort wise, loafing wise. Then Memphis, you come back and you're like, okay, man, you're coming off a bye week. This is a chance to get right. And then you just didn't, right? You lost to a G5 team who, by the way, lost to Navy today. So that looks terrible. But you thought, man, like there was – we talked about this leading up to the show in the pregame. We were like, there's a weird sense of energy about this team this week. It just feels – it feels different. It feels like there's guys that really want to try – and get this thing right. But if you don't end up coming out and winning this thing, you felt like they were probably going to pack this in, right? And that is what worried me the most, is if they lost this game, then you had no positive momentum going into your first true road game against SMU. Then you get Clemson at home, who looks absolutely dominant right now. I thought, man, you could literally go into that bye week 1-5, 0-6. But now that you have a little bit, I mean, you could see the happiness of the team when they won, man. You know, I mean, we can talk a lot about how much guys are bought in, how much they really care. But I mean, at the end of the day, man, I know these guys are getting paid a lot of money and there's that whole other conversation. But you also have where, like, these, no one wants to lose. Like, you don't come out to practice and work every day and sweat and go through all these workouts and things to enjoy losing. You just don't. And so, like, the fact that you saw them get this win, you saw how happy they were to get this win, I think that will give a lot of positive momentum going forward. It will get some buy-in from this team. Again, I thought this game by far was your best from an effort standpoint, from a from a playing hard standpoint. I thought this was the best by far. And, you know, again, I think you can just now, this is what we always talk about. You got to stack performances, right? You have to stack positive things. Like, if you had lost this game knowing that SMU put up 66 points on TCU next week, there is zero chance I'm picking you in that game. But there's probably still zero chance I'm picking you in that game. There's probably still zero chance, but I also at least feel like that your defense, again, you can start building things up to have that positive momentum. So, like, if you can go in there and sneak a win out of TCU or SMU, you're probably not going to be Clemson, but again, you see the positive things start to build. So you have things you can build off of. But man, again, we just got to bring it back to, like, you have to figure out how to score some points. Your offensive success rate tonight was 26%. That is unbelievably, is unbelievably bad. Now, you kept their offensive success rate to 31%. So you did good. And I will also say that, like, hopefully at some point you get Jeremiah Byers back, because I feel like that's also going to help to a degree. Jalen Early stepped in tonight. Of course, you had Darius Washington back. You had Jalen Early stepping in. I'll have to wait for the PFF grades to come out to be able to see how he did.
What the difference was,
right, or go back and at least watch the film and kind of hone in on him. But at the same time, getting Byers back is going to help. I mean, he's at least one of your better offensive tackles. So, I mean, I think you still have some areas that you could get better if you get him back. But, man, I mean, you got to find some way to score some points. But at least your defense is giving you an opportunity to at least be in these games. And then you just got to – Mike's got to know, man, you got to trust your kicker, because when you're so hard up for points, you know, this could have easily been – 20-3, really, if you had kicked a couple of long field goals. And so, like, if you're willing to do it against Georgia Tech, why are you not willing to do it now? Yeah. You know, when your defense is playing well, I get it if you had been getting gashed the whole game, but your defense was playing well, so why not take it? Man, it's tough. You're going to have to find a way to score, but at the same time, like, I'm so proud of this team for finding a way. I mean, at 0-3, against a 3-0 team, coming to your house, has all the confidence in the world, you could have easily seen them pack it in. And so the fact that they came out, they fought, and they got this win, again, it was ugly, but it doesn't matter, man. It still counts as a win in the win column.
Yeah, absolutely. It counts as a win in the win column. And, you know, shout out to Lawrence Toofili's dad, who's in the chat right now. Your boy did good today. So glad that he got a lot of great run on that. You know, him and Ja'Kai, somebody said earlier, they were the offense. Absolutely.
Yes,
Ja'Kai made, I think it was, Ja'Kai had five catches, and all five of those were critical catches. Like, we don't win the game if he doesn't make those catches. So, you know, kudos to him. And I thought, you know, like I said, I thought the offensive line played, you know, okay today. They didn't give up any, like, wide open free rushers to DJ. You know, I thought DJ just held the ball too long on several of those sacks there. You know, Maurice Smith, brother, what are you doing? Why are you getting a personal foul call after the play? Like, come on now. Let's be smarter than that.
He's a veteran. You got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, you can't make those kind of mistakes, man. You're the veteran. You got this line that's trying to gel, and you make that kind of play. Like, just don't do that. So, you know, there are some positives on this offense. I mean, not a lot, but there were positives. Obviously, Ja'Kai, we saw Sam Singleton today. He had a couple good runs there. On that, you know, it was good to see him get into the game. Obviously, I thought Cam Davis, who got hurt and came back in, and then Lawrence did a great job today. You know, Malik Benson, I think he had two catches for -4 yards.
Yeah, he didn't do pretty much anything. Malik Benson, two catches, -4 yards. But I think you're right, man. I think the one positive, too, when you talk about response, man, Ja'Kai had such a terrible game against Memphis, especially with the perimeter blocking. To see him bounce back, because this team, you got to be able to rely on those upperclassmen guys, right? The Lawrence Toofili, like, those are supposed to be your playmakers this year. So when we saw Roydell go out, I was like, man, I think this is going to be a big opportunity for Lawrence Toofili to get in this game and make an opportunity for himself, because he is let's be real. He's your best offensive player. And so, like, you need to get him the ball more often. So tonight, again, like I talked about earlier, 17 attempts, 80 yards and a touchdown. And then Ja'Kai, 4 catches, 86 yards and a touchdown. So you had really – you had two of your veteran guys step up. And, I mean, Moorlock had 3 catches for 21 yards. He did have a pretty crucial drop there. Ugh, but
big drop.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, your two veteran playmakers were the ones that stepped up big for you. And so I know we got to wrap up soon because Michael has to drive all the way back to Orlando tonight. That's a long drive, man. You know, that's a long drive. So we will wrap this up here at about the hour mark. We got 10 or so
now,
minutes
Jesse,
to go.
Now, Jesse, the one thing that we do have to talk about real quick, and they've been undefeated on the season. They've always dependable. They always show up. They're always climbing. That's Alumni Hall, man.
Oh, definitely. So nice segue into there. It's kind of like your kicker, man. You can just rely on it all the time. It's money in the bank. If you guys are going to be in Tallahassee or shop online, it doesn't matter. They can get it to you. Alumni Hall FSU has all the FSU gear that you guys need. In Tallahassee, they are located at 1415 Timber Lane Road. Last time I went there, I stopped by the store. It was the first time I actually got to see their new location, and it is massive. They have so much gear. I forgot to get my chain out tonight. I was going to have my big Florida State chain to celebrate the win, but 14-9, maybe we'll save that for another win or something. We'll save that for a little better win. But yeah, man, I mean, that is it's a great place to be. If you're going to get gear from there, make sure you save 10% by using code SPEAR. They've been sponsoring us for a good while now, so we appreciate those guys, and we appreciate those for supporting those that support us. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure they got to be happy to win too, because
exactly.
It has been apathy among the fan base, man. It has been pretty rough out here for us Florida State fans. So, you know, I know there's some other teams that got a win today. That's fine. That's great. Ours might have been the ugliest one. Doesn't really matter. Like I said, the hate watchers got to save it for another week.
Because,
man, it was pretty much all Miami fans in here last time. But, you know, I mean, again, like Florida got a win 45-28. You know, they look pretty good today, but Mississippi State is absolute like gutter trash far as a power five team.
Booty.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible. But man, I mean, Louisville beat Georgia Tech 31-19. So I'm interested to see when that Louisville Miami matchup happens. Man, talk about disappointment. Virginia Tech falls to Rutgers 26-23.
Wow.
Geez, man, it's been a rough. It's been tough out here for the ACC.
Yeah,
Utah gets the win over Oklahoma State 22-19. I had them covering by 2 points by the slimmest of margins. Did they cover?
You called it.
Missouri goes double overtime with Vanderbilt. So, look, man, we ain't the only ones on the struggle bus out here. Miami won 50-15, so they blew out South Florida. We thought that was going to blow out, too.
Yeah.
Now, it was close there for a little bit. It was, I think, 22-15 right before halftime. South Florida took the field goal. Or it would have been 22-18.
What's the Tennessee-Oklahoma game?
Man, so I did see Oklahoma actually benched their quarterback at one point,
wow.
But Tennessee won 25-15. So a very
way
closer than we thought it was going to be. But
they covered though.
But they covered, and I mean, you know, playing they have a good defense. Their problem is the offense. They're kind of like us. So you know, same problem they have out there, and they were on the road, so a good win there. Boston College knocks off Michigan State 23-19.
Oh, they were losing when I last checked. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of teams out there struggling. So, again, man, that's the thing for Florida State. Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny someone says, so wait, yeah, you can bench a quarterback? Yeah, apparently. Maybe we might need to send that game film or that notification to Mike Norvell and be like,
that's
look,
right.
Hey, man, you can be. And, you know, here's the thing, too, that's interesting when you talk about Florida as we get ready to wrap this up, though. When you talk about Florida, like, they had some really weird system, right? They had even put out before the game where Lagway was going to play the third, the sixth, and the ninth drive. That's super weird stuff, man. But it's also like you realize that you have a young spark. And you're giving him opportunities in the game, but you're not full on like we're benching Mertz.
Right.
And I think that is how Florida State should approach this. Like you could even go into this and say, look, DJ, we are not benching you, right? We are not. Don't hang your head. I mean, you should bench him. You should. But you can sit down and say, look, dude, with you at the helm, we have scored 21, 13, 12, and 14. We have to at least give – we have to give Brock a chance to see what he has. And, you know, we all have the same, you know, we all have the same feeling as Jonathan here, where like, look, if we're gonna struggle, I would rather struggle with the guy who's going to be here in the future, because at least I think at this, then you know what you get out of Brock. Like that competition next year, most of us probably feel like Luke is going to be the winner of that competition, but you need to know what you got in Brock, because what if he comes out and lights it up, man? Then you got a real competition on your hands. But the thing is, like, if you don't even give him a chance, then he might, is that a cop? Hopefully they're not going to run you up out of here.
No, we're good.
Okay. I'll come bail you out if I got to. So maybe they'll arrest DJ so he can't play the next game. We'll see.
But officer, he's wearing number 4.
Exactly. Look for that guy. He's a criminal against offenses. So, Grand Theft points, man. He's stealing all the points from our offense. But look, as we get ready to wrap this up, because we're about to hit the hour mark and Michael's got to get on the road, man. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Look, Florida State, man, they get a win. At the end of the day, like we said, it's ugly. It ain't pretty, but it doesn't matter. You got to win. You got some positive momentum for this program. And on top of that, as we were, you know, we got the tip on earlier, like, Not only did they get the win, they also got a 4-star running back commitment tonight as well. So, got a fan here. Also says she's from Hoboken. Is that Hoboken, New Jersey, or Hoboken in Georgia? Because if it's from Hoboken in Georgia, it's actually funny. I am from Brantley County, so shout out to you if you actually know if you are from Hoboken in Brantley County. So we used to probably be neighbors. Shout out Brantley County Herons. It probably makes no sense to anybody on here, but they got a big upset over Jeff Davis on Friday night with 3 special teams touchdowns, Michael. So it's always that third phase, man. Okay, there we go. So, yeah, actually shout out to the Herons there. But, yeah, man, Florida State gets a big win tonight. Doesn't feel big, but it feels big for this program, right? And so you at least have some momentum. And, man, like Mike Norvell needed this. This team needed this. This fan base needed this. We needed this, Michael. I'm so tired of coming out here and, man, I'm so tired of coming out here and being negative. Like, it's been challenging on my soul, on our souls, to come out here and be negative every week. So Florida State actually gets a big win, man. It's just, I'm so thankful to be talking about a win and not a loss, even if it's ugly, man.
Yeah, let me say this real quick. You know, it's big because you put a W in the win column. You don't now you can start focusing on, okay, we got off the snide, we got that monkey off our back. How do we stack a win next week? What do we need to do? I think this is a great opportunity for the defense to go back and look at the film and say, how do we get off the field on those 3rd and longs? How do we make sure we contain those wheel routes? How do we continue to make our communication better? And then I think on offense, I mean, I hate to make it this simple, but I think what you do, if you're going to take the Florida approach, and God, Lord knows that nothing they do is really well, but I think you start DJ on the first drive, and then you play Brock all the way for the rest of the half. Then you start DJ at the start of the 3rd quarter. Then you play Brock on the rest of that. And that's, you give DJ 2 drives and you give Brock the rest of them. That way you don't have to bench him and we get all of Brock. I mean, you got to do something, Mike Norvell. Now, listen, we say that tongue in cheek because we know that DJ is likely going to be the starter, like guaranteed. Put your money on it. If you got money, he will start next week at SMU. But you know what? We're going to be positive. We're going to support the program as we always do. We love the Noles. We bleed garnet and gold. And so we're just excited that they got the win. They got the W. Now let's see if they can stack on next week as well.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to say before we get out of here, I was just looking it up just to kind of see how this played out. SMU did have 3 non-offensive touchdowns in that game. So they did have a punt return touchdown, a fumble return touchdown, and then an interception return touchdown. 5. So it wasn't, you know, that's still 45 points.
45
I mean,
points. Yeah.
14 ain't going to beat 45. Look, I'm no math surgeon here. I'm no rocket surgeon. I don't like math, but I know 45 is a little bit more than 14. SMU's quarterback was 14-19 for 137 and 2 touchdowns. So he didn't exactly light it up. And even then, when you look at them the last game, they did make the switch in that last game. They only put up 15 points on BYU. So, you know,
wait,
again,
did you just say that another program made another switch at quarterback?
That is SMU. Yeah, they made a switch at quarterback. And guess what? they went with the more mobile guy. So imagine that. You know, they put in a guy with some legs because, man, here's the other thing, too, that gets me excited. And I know we got to kind of get out of here, but, like, one of the reasons that they made that switch, because I watched some of the – I watched one of the TCU's games, man, and their offensive line, not great. They were getting – like, Preston Stone could not breathe without getting hit. So, like, if your defensive line – SMU. If your defensive line can show up, and I'm just looking at TCU, they gave up 35 to UCF last week, 27 to Stanford, which, by the way, Stanford beat Syracuse today. That's kind of crazy.
I saw that.
So, man, like, your defensive line can have an opportunity to really make some havoc in that SMU game. But, again, you got to take this momentum. Like Michael said, like we've talked about, you got to take this momentum, and you have to build on top of it. And the good thing is you've seen the defense now show up 2 weeks in a row. And so you're hoping that the performance that they had tonight will only fuel the fire to play better again next week. And so if that defense can continue to get better, man, they're going to keep you in games because, you know, again, we talk about 21, 13, you know, and then 14 tonight. Well, you also had 24, then you had 28 Boston College. We know that game was bad, but then 20, now 9. So, like, your defense is consistently getting better. Your offense is just staying consistently poo. So, like, you got to get past that 20-point mark, man. But, yeah, I mean, again, you got some positive things to build off of finally, and we're excited for it, man. So Florida State gets the win, 14-9 over Cal, moves to 1-3 on the season. Not the season we wanted, not the record we wanted, but the win we wanted. So at least we get that. And so we're going to wrap this up so Michael can get on the road back to Orlando. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Michael's coming to you from Tallahassee. You know, next week, SMU on the road in Dallas. I know we're going to actually have probably a good bit of Florida State fans traveling to that game. And this is probably going to be a little bit of excitement to get them going too. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. And as always, we'll end it like we always do with, hey, this one feels good tonight, Michael. This one feels good tonight. So, with that being said, guys, we appreciate you guys tuning in, and go Noles.
Go Noles.